Hey guys, Nick Burnett here. Just wanted to kind of give some information on why I joined the Patreon, why I'm part of the Dynasty Warzone team. Downloaded the Dynasty Warzone podcast. It took one day, joined the Patreon, reached out to Memphis about a situation with one of my rosters. And the kind of feedback I got was, hey Nick, why don't you give me a call? We went down my roster and he helped me pull off a couple moves that put me ahead when I thought I was going to be in rebuild mode this year. And that's just part of what comes with the Patreon. Trade talks, just good interaction with guys that love fantasy football. Whether it's 10 o'clock at night or 3 o'clock in the morning, there's always going to be fantasy football talk, whether it's redraft, whether it's dynasty. I joined a couple leagues with the Patreon members, and it's the same thing. Even while we're drafting, we're still shooting ideas at each other. And if that sounds like something that you want to be a part of, pause the podcast now, join the Patreon, and join a great fantasy football group, but more like a fantasy football family.
Hello, neighbor. Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor. I am your host. I am Memphis. You can follow me on Twitter at DWZMemphis. And on tonight's show, I've got a follow-up with my man, Jesse. Jesse was on with me last season in the maiden voyage of the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor. And I don't have a huge intro for you. I just ask that you practice patience. So this is the last podcast that I cut with a bad mic. And what it actually was is it wasn't a bad mic. It was a bad USB port on my computer. So we've gotten that addressed. Everything should be good to go. It's a little crackly at times. We tried our best to keep it clean. And part of the reason for the delay in getting this one out with Jesse is that I was trying to clean up the audio. Just real quick, make sure you take a second and head over to your podcast platform and leave a 5-star review for the Dynasty Happy Hour. It is the fastest way to help shows grow. Man, rate, review, subscribe, and share. If you can do any of those things, you are helping small businesses. That's what podcasts are, small businesses like the Dynasty Happy Hour, like the Dynasty Warzone. You are helping us grow. And by liking, rating, reviewing, and subscribing, and sharing, you're doing all that for free. Now we have sponsors. I have sponsors. The Dynasty Happy Hour guys have sponsors. But if you don't want to reach into your wallet, that's cool. We're glad you're here anyway. Thanks for tuning in. But it's just as simple to hit pause, subscribe, and leave a little 5-star. And if you're a YouTube content creator, even better. You can subscribe over there. Notifications turned on. That also helps the brand. So I want to thank you guys for tuning in. I am going to get Jesse. If you're looking for more Dynasty content than the great goodness you get here at the Happy Hour, head over to the Dynasty Warzone. We have been doing a new show on Sundays called The Rookie Rundown. Our first guest was Shane P. Hallam. We hit 5 under the radar-ish. Is that a word? Under the radar-ish rookies? Maybe you've heard of him. Maybe you have not. But Shane is the guy who unearthed James Robinson 2 years ago. I have the receipts. It was in March of 2019, not March of 2020, March of 2019, when this man called his shot on James Robinson. A must listen over at the Rookie Rundown, as well as the FF Smackdown, our redraft show. We jumped on, talked about some head coaching changes, and then the Dynasty Warzone Mothership, the main show, the Dynasty show. My co-host Jerry and I, we broke down our all 2021 Sweethearts team. That's right, just in time for Valentine's Day, Jerry and I gave you 7 guys each that we are super sweet on for 2021 and their Dynasty future. All that available over at the Dynasty Warzone. And if you need anything, you can hit me up on Twitter. If you're looking to get in on this show, again, guys, I am now completely booked through the month of March. So if you're looking at April, May, rookie drafts coming up June, July, you better get in there like swimwear or you're going to miss your shot on being on the only Dynasty podcast that makes you, the listener, my co-host for the day. And not only are you my co-host and we get to talk about the greatest thing ever, Dynasty Fantasy Football, but we get to improve one of your rosters. So I hope that's you. You can DM me on Twitter at DWZMemphis, or if you're not on socials, cool in the gang. You can send me an email. The email address is DynastyWarzone@gmail.com. Again, DynastyWarzone@gmail.com. Hit me up, check me out, and I am going to drop one sponsor, just one sponsor. Going to let you hear a quick word from my man Matt over at Hate Brand Goods. This is an athletic apparel brand. If you follow my personal Instagram, you will see me rocking these shorts every single day in the gym. Why? Because I've got more than 7 pairs, baby. I got them all. I love them. They're good for the squats, deadlifts, benches, or if you just want to look cool. They also double as some pretty sweet swim trunks if you have spring break in the not too distant future. So check me out if you want to see them, Memphis185 on Instagram, or you can check out the Hate at thehvii.com. Use promo code Memphis at checkout. You will save 10% on your order. And we're going to hear a quick word from Matt, the owner of Hate Brand Goods, and then we're going to do a follow-up with Jesse. Thanks for your patience with the audio. I've got a banger coming for you next week with another follow-up, a gentleman named Jared. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for subscribing. And I'll talk to you guys soon. Thank you.
It's Hate Brand Goods. That's my company. That is what we've started. I hope you guys have checked it out. If you want to go over to thehate.com, hate for me means it's about self-improvement. It's this self-motivation through self-loathing, this bit of loathing of not tolerating your own bullshit, that little voice that says today's good enough or what we did's fine or no one's going to know that I'm taking today off. Like, fuck all that, man. I know. Like, I hold that standard. I'm accountable to me. And that's it. That's why I chase goals. I do it because of me. I don't do it because of what someone else is going to think of it or what someone else's approval is. And it's about holding yourself to that. The rest of that motivation can fade, but as long as you're in control of being able to make you do the shit you want to do, you're golden, man. So head over to thehate.com, use code and save yourself some cash.
All right. And here he is back and better than ever. I know him as Jesse. You might remember him from a guest spot in 2021. We're going to do a little follow-up with his roster, but here he is. Jesse, man, welcome back. How have you been?
Hey, my main man, Memphis. I've been great. How are you?
I'm good, man. How did 2021 roll in for you? Did you roll in with some championships? Did you enjoy the playoffs? How has your football life been since we last spoke?
Well, not great. No championships this year. Some really bad beats in the playoffs. I had a team, at Maddie Big Chest's Table Talk League. I went 13-0 regular season, got a bye, lost first playoff game that I played. So that's kind of how all of my teams went, except for those that I laid back, and expected. But I do have 2 Trevor Lawrence shares as it stands. I have 2 number one picks in DWZ Patreon League. So excited about that at least.
Hey, man, what's to say? I got that going for me, which is nice.
Which is nice.
Yeah. So we're going to follow up on this. Is your CBS roster, if I remember correctly, right?
That's correct. Yeah. This is that crazy scoring system that we talked about.
Yeah. And I'm looking it over. I'm going to share my screen with the viewers on either Periscope via Twitter or on YouTube at the Dynasty Warzone YouTube channel. And we'll cruise around this thing for a few minutes, but, you know what, let me go ahead and do that. So why don't you talk about, how this league finished up for you? What did you think your record was going to be? What did your record end up being? And just like a quick synopsis of your 2020 season with this roster while I do a little behind the scenes producing while hosting.
Okay, great. So last time we talked, had a decent roster with 1 good starting running back and not a lot of depth. Akers hadn't popped yet. So I was sort of treading water. I think I was 4-5 at the time, 5-4, somewhere around there. Finished 5-8, made some moves, definitely made some moves to sort of step back this year and hopefully step forward next year. Finished 5-8. Whenever you want, we'll get into the trades that I made.
Yeah. Cause if I remember correctly, I don't think you were planning on contending with this roster. Was that correct?
Correct. Yeah. It was an orphan that I took over 2 years ago. I tried to tank. Well, not really tank, but try not really hard to win my first year and end up winning a playoff game. So the second year was 2020. I decided I didn't really want to win again. The only way in this upcoming draft to get a starting running back is to have a top in a 1 quarterback league is to have a top 3 pick. Top 2 pick if you really want to be sure. So that was kind of my goal at the time. But, you know, my competitiveness and league rules dictate that you set a good lineup. So what happens, happens.
All right. Well, we first of all, you want to make sure you're following the league rules and not trying to circumvent them to take things to your advantage. So this is a one QB league. Now, remind us just real quick, briefly, of the scoring system.
So real quick, scoring system is it's basic scoring with yardage bonuses, some really, really good solid yardage bonuses. But then there's distance scoring for touchdowns. So a 10-point touchdown is worth 7. A 20-point touchdown is worth 8. And then it goes up every 10 yards. And then you get a game-breaker bonus for a 75-yard touchdown. So a 75-yard touchdown would be worth 12 points plus a 5-point game-breaker bonus. So 17-point touchdown. Then you get out-of-position touchdowns is what we call them. So if you're a running back and you catch a touchdown, you get 1.5 times what that touchdown would normally be worth. So it would be 18 in that if it was a receiving 75-yard touchdown by the running back or a rushing touchdown by a quarterback or a wide receiver, that kind of thing, passing touchdown by anybody but a quarterback, you get 1.5 times. So right. There's no PPR, but that kind of adds to sort of the –
Well, it does is it levels out those volume hogs, those wide receivers and running backs that really tend to that just basically catch a lot of balls. I mean, obviously Davante Adams scored a lot of touchdowns, but you've got a guy on this roster like a Robert Tonyan who caught a lot of touchdowns, you know, versus a guy like Travis Kelce who did catch a lot of touchdowns as well. But that would negate some of his volume that he normally gets in the PPR side. Now, his yardage is still great. 100-plus yards is still a great amount of yardage. But it's an interesting scoring format, but it seems to really favor explosive plays and explosive players. Like an example on this team, you have Saquon Barkley. Now, obviously, he didn't play last year, but we've seen Saquon Barkley take many a touchdown to the house with his explosiveness. And then Noah Fant, another guy capable of taking long touchdowns to the house. So we're going to jump into this, man. So let's talk about your quarterbacks. You've got Justin Herbert. And you can see this on the screen. You can see Justin Herbert. You can see Ryan Tannehill. And on the next slide, you can see Drew Lock. So you carry three quarterbacks in a one QB league. Now, I do not recall, did you have all of these guys the last time we spoke?
No, I had Aaron Rodgers in place of Ryan Tannehill.
And let's walk through that trade.
So let's go through the big trade. Last time I was on, the advice that you gave me was that I take my one really good, strong, young asset in Josh Jacobs and trade him for two good, really good young assets. So, you also recommended that I, you know, try to flip Aaron Rodgers to a contender and get something in return for him. So what I did was took Josh Jacobs, Aaron Rodgers, and my second round 2021 pick and traded for Saquon, Ryan Tannehill, and a 2021 first.
Wow. Well, that is a fantastic deal. Going into last season, I will be completely transparent. I am, and I want to, in my heart of hearts, I want to be bullish. I want to be bullish on Josh Jacobs. I still do, but until I actually see him involved in the passing game, it's hard to get him up my rankings where I want him to be. So, man, that is fantastic for a non-contender. You've also got, you mentioned Saquon Barkley. Also in your running backs, so you have really good running backs, but your depth is lacking. And the running backs you have actually really, really fit this scoring. You have the very explosive and can take one to the house from any distance, DeAndre Swift. You have the on the rise at the end of the season, Cam Akers. And a guy that recently won a Super Bowl ring but needs Slim Lynn, a.k.a. Playoff Lynn, to leave town in Keyshawn Vaughn. So you're good at running back, but you're thin at running back. Do you have any plans to use like a draft pick in this league? What do your draft picks look like? What are your thoughts about getting some running back depth?
Well, I didn't have any running back depth when I took this team over. So what I'm looking at now is kind of what I have to work with. I took that first round pick that I got in the Saquon deal, which ended up being the 109 in a 10 team league, which means he went to the finals. So the guy I traded with, you know, Saquon went down for him. He still felt he was a contender, traded for Josh Jacobs and Aaron Rodgers and rode that to the finals. He lost that game, but hey, he went to the finals with it. So I feel like it was a good trade for both teams. But what I then did was I took that first round pick, coupled it with my first round pick, ended up being the 105. Didn't know it at the time, and traded for DeAndre Swift. Only way you're getting a running back in this league is to, you know, you really have to pay. I don't feel like I overpaid, but I paid. Do you know what I mean?
I completely do. And, you know, this is funny. You mentioned the Dynasty Warzone Patreon, which I don't remember if you were at the time when we did the first contractor, but I know you have been a long Patreon since then. And, you know, we've had this conversation a lot in the Dynasty Warzone Patreon, is that in a 1QB league, if you want a good, solid running back in this year's class, you literally have to be in the top three picks. If you're not in the top three picks, you're probably not going to get a running back. And if you do, you are probably reaching, if you draft a running back at 3, 4, or 5, you are reaching in a 1QB league because you're bypassing Jamar Chase, you're bypassing Devonta Smith, the kid from Waddle. You're bypassing those guys to maybe reach for Javonta Williams.
Right. Kenneth Gainwell.
Doesn't
excite me.
Those feel like the kind of names that I would have no problem investing that 109 you had on a Gainwell, on a guy like that. But, you know, Javonta Williams, we had this conversation on the Dynasty Warzone on what would have been Tuesday night for a Wednesday podcast with Dan Williamson. And if you're not familiar with Dan Williamson from the great state of Minnesota, he is a must follow. And we were just kind of talking around the head coaching carousel and what that's going to mean for teams and dynasty rosters. And we both had, wouldn't it be great if Javonta Williams wound up in Atlanta with Arthur Smith and that offense that he's bringing down from Tennessee, you know, a big back, except he's got, you know, a much better passing profile. So if Javonta Smith lands in a Seattle, if he lands in a Pittsburgh, an Atlanta, even the New York Jets, a spot where he can be like a, there are so few bell cows anymore that it's hard to call any running back a bell cow, but I could see, you know, using a 103, 104, 105, but none of those names, Javonta Smith, Michael Carter, Gainwell, Chuba Hubbard, none of those guys at 105 or 109 combined with another asset based on this roster would make me give any of that up to not take DeAndre Swift's side. I love DeAndre Swift, and I'm really excited to see what they do with him in this offense. I'm drawing a blank on the offensive coordinator. It's not Joe Lombardi. He is somewhere else. It's Anthony Lynn. Anthony Lynn from the L.A. Superchargers. And just think about how Anthony Lynn, now he didn't call the offense in L.A., but he obviously had a hand in it. And I'm pretty excited to what I think he could do with DeAndre Swift. You know, think about go ahead.
I like Anthony Lynn. I like that offense. In fact, that's the Colts tree. That's sort of the same lineage as Frank Reich. And what they do is get guys open by concept. So they're not really scheming guys open the same way, say, Shanahan would. What they do it is route combinations. They are very smart with route combinations, and they're smart with getting the ball into their best players' hands within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage and letting them make plays. You know, and I really like that idea with DeAndre Swift. Anthony Lynn, I really like his offense. Shane Steichen is now the Eagles offensive coordinator, who was his offensive coordinator last year. That's why I know so much about this. You know, diehard Eagles fan. But I really like Anthony Lynn's offense. I just didn't think he was a good offensive or a good head coach. I didn't think he made good decisions in game. He's not cut out for it. But I do think he's a sharp offensive mind.
Well, we agree on a lot, and I'm looking at, courtesy of Fantasy Pros, by the way, last year DeAndre Swift led the running backs in Detroit with 54 targets, along with 25 to Kerryon Johnson, and believe it or not, 18 to Adrian Peterson, so a total of 102. And then you go to L.A. with the Rams, Malcolm Butler, 32, Daryl Henderson, 24, Cam Akers, 66. I would love to, you know, I've tried to do a little impromptu as you and I were talking to see what Todd Gurley got with Jared Goff. The one thing about Jared Goff and how it benefits DeAndre Swift is when you have the Konami Code QB, when you have the Lamar Jacksons, even when you have the Josh Allens, they don't tend to check the ball down because their check down becomes a, you know, option one, option two, option three. And in a Jared Goff's case, it's a check the ball down to a running back, whereas a Lamar Jackson's actually more like read one, read two, kind of read three, but I'm reading that while I'm running type of a thing. And because Jared Goff's not the most mobile guy around, I could really see his, you know, his target numbers. You know, they're not going to double to 108, but what if they went up by 50% and he wound up with like 80 targets? And with his catch rate, he would convert somewhere in the neighborhood of 70 catches. That would be tremendous out of DeAndre Swift. And you were never going to get that. Never's a strong word. You were very unlikely to get that kind of production at the running back position to pair with Saquon Barkley. So I love DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, but, I appreciate that. Nope. Yeah, I appreciate it. It was a move where I took 5 and 9. Well, actually, at the time, it was just 2 firsts. So I took my 2 firsts and I started shopping them for young running backs. I offered it for Swift. I offered it for Dobbins. The Dobbins owner laughed. He kind of laughed at me. I also tried to get him for Goddard in that deal. So he turned me down and the Swift owner accepted, so I kind of jumped for joy. I don't feel like there's a running back coming up in the next 2 years as good as DeAndre Swift. I mean, maybe not until 2022 or 2023. Actually, is there a running back this good coming up?
Well, I don't. You know, you never know. I mean, this time last year, unless you were a hardcore Devy player, you really weren't too keen on who Javonte Williams was.
Well, that's
so
true.
we don't know who the next big thing could become, unless you're my man Shane P. Hallam of Fake Pigskin and the Devy Marketplace. But we have to deal with the here and now. You know, we got to deal with DeAndre, and I love it. And you have another young stud. I love the age of this running back room. I absolutely cannot say enough good things about the age because you have another guy that really come on late. Oh crap!
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, we had a little technical issue. So for those of you watching on YouTube, this is the first time I've had a little technical issue. So I will have to edit this out. So if you listen to the podcast, it will be a lot cleaner. but we're talking about Cameron Akers, Cam Akers.
Yeah, sorry about that.
How did you get him, and what do you think? What do you think his value has increased by?
So Cam Akers, thank you, Antonio Brown. I made a trade. First thing I did with this roster when it was an orphan 2 years ago, before Antonio Brown went nuts and he was the number one wide receiver in football, is I traded him for a first and a second. And that first and second were in the 2020 draft. That 2020 draft was last summer. I was sitting on the beach. You were sitting in your backyard in the lawn chair. I gave you a call. I told you I was looking at Cam Akers, and you told me to pull the trigger. That was the 5th overall pick.
Hey, I thought Cam Akers was a great – you know, Cam Akers is a classic story for a lot of dynasty GMs, and that don't get caught up in a lack of immediate a lack of immediate results. You know, this is 2 years in a row, and I don't know how many lessons we have to learn as dynasty GMs that these rookie running backs don't always turn out to be Adrian Peterson or Zeke Elliott or even Saquon Barkley. Sometimes they need a game or two, and 2 years in a row. 2 years in a row, we've seen 2 years ago. 2 years ago, we saw Miles Sanders help GMs win leagues with the Philadelphia Eagles, and last year, we saw Jonathan Taylor help Dynasty GMs win championships down the stretch. So this year, if you get a Najee Harris, a Travis Etienne, again, we keep mentioning Javonta Williams, patience. A little patience. Now, another guy, so I love the age, the talent, the depth of this roster at running back, Barkley, Swift, Akers. But you have one other guy that needs just a little bit of luck to break his way, but a guy that I was really high on this time last year, and that's Keyshawn Vaughn. What are your thoughts on Vaughn? Did you have him when we last talked? Talk to me about Keyshawn Vaughn.
Keyshawn Vaughn, I love him. I mean, I think he's got a lot of talent. It's, he was a really the reason I have him is because of Ray GQ, your friend of mine. He was really high on him, really high on the talent. He went to a place where he was blocked by two running backs, but hopefully Fournette's gone. And, you know, blanking on the other running back in Tampa Bay, but he doesn't catch passes, really. You know, he's not the same kind of running back. More of a thunder and lightning, you know?
Ronald Jones, right. Rojo.
So, really nice, you know, if they start to trust him and start to trust him in pass production, if Brady trusts him to catch the ball, I think you're really nice compliment to Ronald Jones.
I would agree. And much and like I had, we saw.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I had just picked him up off waivers when we last spoke. I think it was like 1 week fresh.
Perfect. Because I know the rookie draft in this league is only two rounds, if I recall.
Right. Yeah. So there are a lot of those fringy kind of, you know, third, fourth round type players that are just out there.
All right. And then your wide receivers. You still have one of my personal favorites, and I really like him for this scoring format, is DJ Moore. Robert Woods is my only concern with Robert Woods for this format would be is that for whatever reason, he just doesn't seem to be a huge touchdown scorer.
Maybe that changes with Stafford. I don't know.
It could. You know, and this is one thing you know, like if you go to jury duty, sometimes you have to recuse yourself from, like, certain cases due to – maybe you have like a bias or whatever. You know, when Matthew Stafford got traded to the Rams, I was like, anyone who's telling me which wide receiver or, you know, receiving asset in LA won or benefits the most from this, you're going to have to let me see your dynasty portfolios. Because if you have a lot of Robert Woods shares and you're telling me that this is good for Robert Woods, then maybe you're just trying to convince yourself.
Yeah, you have a bias.
So I am a tremendous Cooper Kupp fan. I have Cooper Kupp everywhere. So for me to try to decipher a winner would be a little bit unfair. I'm just looking forward to seeing how they operate in mini camps, OTAs, things like that.
One sneaky little bonus for Robert Woods in the scoring system is he does run. He does get handoffs. And he does run for a touchdown once in a while. So that's extra points.
Fair enough. Another guy, I'm going to switch to their screen, is Mike Williams. You know, they've got a new offensive coordinator there in L.A. They brought in Joe Lombardi. Sean Steichen went to Philadelphia and to be the OC for Nick Sirianni. But, man, I'm hoping we can maybe, just maybe, get a little bit more of an equal distribution of targets. And Mike Williams, a guy that I'm very high on, more from like a best ball type format. I mean, Mike Williams is a guy who averages 17 yards per catch, right at, it's like 16.7, but you get my drift.
Yeah.
He's had, I'm going these numbers. We actually had him on the war zone last night. Mike Williams has had like 152 catches in his career and 118 of them have went for first downs. The guy had a 1,000-yard season. He had a 10 TD season. God forbid he ever put it together and have a 10 TD and a 1,000-yard season. Then you're doing something. So you're very strong up top, and then your bench wide receivers are Robbie Anderson. I think both him and DJ Moore could be in line for a quarterback upgrade. I was reading Todd McShay's most recent mock draft this morning, and he has them trading up to the third position to draft, I believe it was Trey Lance, and then Russell Gage. We also mentioned him last night as a top buy, and then Bryan Edwards, Denzel Mims, and Michael Pittman. So you are loaded with young guys that you just need to take a step forward.
Jalen Reagor, Gabriel Davis as well.
Oh, okay. That's on the third slide.
Oh, sorry about that.
No, you're good. You're good. Out of all those second-year guys, those guys coming off of their rookie season, I'll be honest, the one that I'm the most worried about is Jalen Reagor. And the one behind him I'm the second most worried about is Denzel Mims. And the reason why is that it's really fascinating. So I saw on a CBS mock draft, the CBS mock draft had the Eagles drafting, I think it was Trey Lance or Justin Fields. It was one of those two quarterbacks with the sixth pick. Now, if that happens, that's actually very good news for Jalen Reagor. But then, like I said, I was reading Todd McShay's mock draft this morning, and he had the Eagles taking Ja'Marr Chase. So if that scenario happens, then that's going to force a guy like Denzel Mims into a complementary role. The one thing I will say, you've seen the LaFleur offense, which is basically a derivative of the Shanahan offense. Well, another LaFleur, not Michael LaFleur, not Matt LaFleur or Peter LaFleur, it's Michael LaFleur, brother of Matt, who's the head coach in Green Bay, also spent time with Sean McVay with the Rams. So I think we have a good idea what they're going to run from like an offensive standpoint. So I don't think it kills Mims, again, but the two guys I want to talk about are Edwards and Pittman, because the Raiders invested two picks last year, actually three if you count the Lynn Bowden Jr. pick.
Yeah.
And this is a team, the Raiders need a lot of help on defense, I don't know if they're right at the cap or slightly over, but they don't have a lot of wiggle room as far as cap. So what do the Raiders need? They need Bryan Edwards to take a step forward. They need Henry Ruggs to take a step forward. And if I had to put my chips on one of those two guys taking the sophomore leap, I'm going to put my chip on Bryan Edwards, excuse me. Remember Braylon Edwards? There's a Freudian slip from many years ago.
Yeah, I made a bad trade for Braylon Edwards at one time.
Yeah, man. I fell in love. I think it was I think he had 1,414 touchdowns or something like that. Maybe it was 16-16.
Yeah.
I think his was 1,600 yards and 16 touchdowns with Derek Anderson. And Allen Robinson in his rookie or his sophomore year had 1,400 yards and 14 TDs with Blake Bortles. It was like mediocre quarterback play equaled like great wide receiver numbers. But as I digress about years gone by, and the same thing with Michael Pittman. You know, the Colts are rumored to be in the Carson Wentz sweepstakes, which you think would have to, you know, potentially involve their first-round pick. The Colts need a left tackle. Anthony Costanzo has retired. They could move over Braden Smith to the left tackle, but that's to be determined. But I use that conversation to illustrate the point that both of these guys – do not really figure to get a lot of competition. So for them to take a sophomore step forward is definitely in your favor. So I love that. And then I just want to hit your tight ends real quick. Your tight end position, I know you have the very popular Robert Tonyan, as well as your starter of Noah Fant. For those of you that have listened to me on other podcasts, you know what a Noah fan that I am. And I'm really hoping that an entire continuous offseason with the coaching staff, Drew Locke, and the entire offense, that he can really take a step forward in 2021. The problem is it's not a problem. It's a good problem to have, is that you have two guys that are in most top 10 in a startup for Dynasty League. You're just going to be guessing matchups from game to game. So did you have that trouble this season?
Yeah, I did. Absolutely.
It's like whack-a-mole. It's tight end whack-a-mole. You're like, okay, yeah. I'm going to play Fant this week. And then it's Tonyan. Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah. And, you know, when I had Aaron Rodgers, it wasn't as tough, because I just figured, yeah, I'll play Fant and hopefully I'll get a hookup. But once I traded Aaron Rodgers, it was who knows. And then once that happened and that owner was kind of winning, I tried to trade him and Jamal Williams to that owner. And, you know, my message to him was, hey, man, if I had just traded for Aaron Rodgers, I'd want the guy he keeps throwing touchdowns to. you know, Aaron Jones was hurt at the time, whatever, and he just wouldn't bite.
Well, one last question before we just start talking about like some hypotheticals to get into for this off season. What is your rookie? I know you traded your first and another first. Do you have any other picks left, or you just kind of tapped on picks?
I have zero picks.
Okay. Well, you only had two to begin with, so it's right. Not like you had a large cachet of picks just burning a hole in your pocket. So I was just curious.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, you're good.
Well, I do have a trade that's on the table.
Okay.
So me and another owner agreed in principle. Basically, the league year hasn't flipped yet. So once the league year flips and we're allowed to make trades again, we are going to do Michael Pittman and Zach Moss is what I'm giving up for Eckler and Josh Kelly. So that does, I feel like that adds a little depth to my running back room.
No, man, I love it. You're going to be in a somewhat similar position with having to start three wide receivers. Is you're just going to have to play a matchup. You're going to have to look between, obviously, it feels like 99 out of 100 weeks, you're going to start Saquon Barkley and right. probably DeAndre Swift. And then you'll be, you know, splitting hairs. But between that, but what you're hoping is, and you've got time, you know, time is on your side, is you will be able to see if Slim Lynn, a.k.a. Playoff Lynn, if he moves on to another location this offseason, you know, it's completely possible. Mm-hmm. And if he moves on, with the amount of free agents that the Buccaneers have to re-sign, the odds of them either re-signing Fournette or bringing in another reputable veteran seem to be low. And that might be your opportunity to move a Keyshawn Vaughn. Mm-hmm. Not that you don't want the depth, but he may be worth more to someone else as their RB 3 or 4 as opposed to being your RB 5. Because right in this league, you've only got to start two. At that point, once you acquire Eckler, you're going to be sitting on four studs, and you're already going to have a hell of a time working one of these studs into your weekly starting rotation. So maybe at that point you could – I mean, even if you were able to move Keyshawn Vaughn for – even a 2022 second and just, you know, put that in your hip pocket, because with this roster, man, this roster could start off incredibly hot, and having that extra pick, it's kind of like what the Eagles and the Lions are doing right now. I was talking with a friend of mine about the Lions, and they were like, why did they take Jared Goff into, you know, future picks, a 2022 and a 2023? And I'm like, well, it tells me a couple of things. One, they don't necessarily love this quarterback class with a 7 overall pick. They don't think they can go up to get a quarterback they really like, and maybe they want to see what they have with Jared Goff for a year or two. And if Jared Goff works out, great. They can use those draft picks from the Rams for, you know, other purposes. Or if Jared Goff doesn't work out, they can use that draft capital at that time to make a reevaluation of what they want to do with all those firsts.
Go get Sam Howell. You know?
Yeah, and you could very well do the same thing. A lot of times we get caught up in the moment, and we want to draft in the most recent upcoming draft. But by moving a Keyshawn Vaughn for like a 2022 first, if you get some buzz built up around him with Leonard Fournette, because that's when you have to sell. Hey, did you see the role that Leonard Fournette played for the Buccaneers? Well, we have to assume that Rojo's role is going to be the same, and that, you know, Keyshawn Vaughn, who they drafted fairly high, is going to be the new Leonard Fournette. And if I could get a future first, I have a couple of Keyshawn Vaughn shares out there. If I can move him with a roster like this, now there's some rosters where I'm going to need him, but based on this roster, man, if you can put some future capital in your back pocket, that would be something I would suggest.
Yeah, good idea. Good thought.
Because then if you get to making a run in the middle of the season, if 2021, you know, this team starts hitting the way that we think it would start hitting, and you want to move up to get a superstar wide receiver, then you would have your first and that additional 2022 first in season, kind of like you did this year where you got DeAndre Swift for two firsts. Maybe you could use, you know, it's kind of like chess, playing a couple of moves ahead. Yeah. Then, you know, you move Keyshawn Vaughn for a pick, then you use that pick and your pick and maybe something else to really level up and add a really good stud piece then.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Sounds great. That's exactly the way I like to do things.
You're just thinking, you know, it's an if then. If I can pull this off, then I can do this. The big thing right now to really keep in mind is just to exercise some patience. And right now, it kind of stinks that you don't have any picks, because now this is where having picks, you need two things right now for a dynasty roster. You need some picks and you need some courage, because people are way overvaluing draft picks right now. And they are way undervaluing veterans. So, but you know what? You've got a really good roster. You're kind of landlocked right now with it as it is. But I think you've done a phenomenal job. In 2 years, you've taken an orphan. I think for all intents and purposes, we think Justin Herbert's going to be a top 5 to 8 QB. Okay, so you're right in that wheelhouse. You got three awesome running backs. You've got very good wide receivers, and if Noah Fant takes that third-year leap at tight end, man, this is a top-three roster probably in your league, unless there's some, like, really dominant teams out there that are spooky.
No, I mean, everybody's kind of, you know, in that same area of just, you know, trying to, it seems like a lot of teams in this league are trying to turn over old guys while trying to replace them right now. And so there's not a real dominant team, you know, that's got a bunch of young studs. So hopefully that's what I've got coming up. I'm really feeling confident in this team. You know, thanks to you. I really appreciate it. You know, you've really given me some good advice.
Nope. I'm going to hit you with something new that I just thought of today. And I'm going to ask this to everyone that I have on for a follow-up. Now, I would have loved to have prepped you for this, but there was not time. So what was one thing that you did right with this roster in 2020? The one thing that you think you did the most correctly?
I traded Josh Jacobs, in essence, for Saquon Barkley, who's a better running back than him, and a first.
And what that tells you is that Jesse knew exactly where his roster was at the time. He had his finger on the pulse of his roster. And he was not afraid. I did this myself, and I'm not trying to put myself over the old pat myself on the back. But I managed to move I believe it was Aaron Rodgers and a second for Dak and a first in a league. And this is a league where I was not contending. And, you know, this guy was contending, you know, he was rolling with Dak. I think kind of similar to the trade you made. He went on to win the league or got second, or I don't recall. I mean, we're all in so many leagues.
Yeah.
But for him, it ended up, you know, I got a late first and Dak, a guy who I have much higher in my dynasty, not my redraft, but my dynasty rankings than Aaron Rodgers. You know, Dak is still in my top five. So I'm very excited to, and I've got an extra pick, and we know what those picks are going to be worth. So that's what you did right. What was the one thing you did wrong with this roster last year?
With this roster, one thing I did wrong. That's a tough question, because I feel like I played this roster pretty well through the year. I gotcha. I spent considerable fab on Drew Lock. I probably spent, out of a $200 budget, $50. On Drew Lock, so that's definitely
and in one QB league.
Yeah, it's a swing and a miss.
Yeah, well, hey, you know what? Big swings. You know, that's baseball nowadays, right? The analytics, which is squeezing the fun out of everything. I mean, don't get me wrong, I like the analytics, but the analytics have squeezed the fun out of baseball. It's like everything nowadays has to be a home run or a strikeout. Right. Weird. All right, so we know what you did right. We know what you did wrong. What are you going to do differently, not only with this roster, but with your dynasty teams in general in 2021?
You know, I think you hit on it earlier, is there are guys that feel that look like they're old and busted. You look at their age and they're only 27, 28. You know, you look at guys like Keenan Allen and he's been around forever. And he's, you know, you hear a guy's name too much and he seems old and, you know, how can he really help you? But man, those are the guys that win you championships. So what I'm going to do is spend my late round draft picks on veterans. And that's really what I've been doing so far this offseason. I've been getting Chris Carson, and I know he doesn't have a team, but if you can get Chris Carson for, say, Marlon Mack in a fourth rounder or a third in a fourth rounder, do you feel like that's worth it rather than a guy that may never even take a snap?
I know my bias. I am a Marlon Mack fan. By all accounts, he should be ready for free agency himself.
That Achilles scares me, though.
But I'm all about moving those late round picks. I did an article a long time ago about equating rookie picks to certain types of gambling. You know, a first rounder is like 75%. That's like a highly skilled poker player. Highly skilled poker player more often than not is going to get the money. Just like a highly skilled dynasty GM more than likely is going to hit on their first round pick. Second round pick, it becomes blackjack or craps. If you play absolutely perfectly, you're about 50-50. And then everywhere along the way, the further you get from that first round pick, the less likely it is that you're going to hit a home run. The less likely it is by a percentage that you're going to come out on top. So if I can move thirds for guys like Chris Carson, guys like Mark, if I had like a 311 right now and I needed a little depth at running back, I would rather throw that 311 at Chris Carson, or I'm not saying you would get him, but you'll be damn surprised what happens come rookie draft time. But if you're interested in guys that are going to be free agents, you need to do that now. I will talk about that a different time. So this is something I wanted to surprise Jesse with, but this is something you can apply towards your business life, your family life, anything. Anytime that you're in a rut with anything in life, not just your dynasty roster, you can ask yourself, hey, what am I doing right? What am I doing wrong? And what can I do differently? And you'll be surprised the progression that it will have on your dynasty roster, on your work life, your relationships with other people. I'm trying to bring some of the lessons and best practices that I've learned over, you know, God, I'm going to date myself, but if you're watching live on YouTube, the white in my beard doesn't do it. I don't know what else would. But I'm trying to share and, you know, bring over some of the lessons that I've learned in the business leadership world to the Dynasty Fantasy Football game. So, I super appreciate you taking the time to jump back on with me. As always, you know I'm going to be here every step along the way. And for those of you listening, if you're interested in getting on the contractor with me, I continue to believe, and maybe I'm crazy, but I continue to believe this is the only Dynasty-based podcast where I make you the co-host. Every other podcast you probably just listen to, and you don't get too many opportunities to interact with the host, but this is where I need your help. I am currently booked through the month of March, as crazy as that is to say. But I would love to have you. And if you're on social media, you can reach me at DWZ on Twitter, at DWZ Memphis on Twitter, and DynastyWarzone at Gmail if you're looking to link up with me. Jesse, man, what are you looking most forward to? You looking most forward to the rookie draft or free agency?
Free agency, because it's first. And then and then the rookie draft. I mean, I just can't wait. It's what I live for this time of year. So I'm really excited.
Well, I look forward to my next dynasty or fantasy football related podcast, and I believe that will be this coming Sunday night. Yes, I know it's Valentine's Day. Yes, I know I'm a married man of a 17 year veteran in the married game, but we are celebrating on Saturday, along with probably the rest of the free world, because as my wife put it, that's a work night. So Sunday, I will be live with some special guests talking rookies here on the Dynasty Warzone YouTube. And if you're a podcast subscriber and you're listening here on the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast feed, make sure to subscribe over at the DWZ, because we're going to have one rookie related podcast a week for Dynasty, and then we're going to have one existing roster show a week, and then we'll be doing some contracting as well as a bunch of other stuff. But I couldn't do it without guys like Jesse. Man, thanks for joining me.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Memphis. As always, I really appreciate it, and I really appreciate the advice that you always give out. And look out in those DWZ Patreon links, because I'm taking you down next year.
Oh, man, I got to get past you. I got to get past Whitney. My two arch nemesises are right here. Is it nemesises or nemesi?
Nemesis.
Oh, Nimbus, look at that. See, that's why I keep this guy around. He's super sharp. So on behalf of the super sharp Jesse, I am Memphis. Thank you for tuning in to The Contractor. Thank you for working through the technical difficulties with us on YouTube. And until next time, remember, the roster you have today is not a life sentence. We can help you fix it. We can make it better. And we're just here to make the world a better place for fantasy football. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Have a great night.
Hey, fellow Warzone listeners. My name is Zach Camps. I'm not golfing or slinging my hands a monster. I'm usually thinking about Dynasty Fantasy Football. A couple months back, I joined the Patreon just to take my Dynasty passion to the next level. And I'll tell you what. Well, let's just say there's writer downers for days in the Patreon. As a member, you get access to the bonus pod where the guys take the filter off and talk about a wide variety of topics that maybe they won't cover on the normal show. You also get access to Memphis and Jerry for one-on-one advice, personal dynasty dilemmas. They'll tackle them for you, help you out with it. You just don't get that anywhere else. But I'd say my favorite part about the Patreon is the group chat. Tell you what, these guys are some excellent minds, tons of fun. The fire in there is amazing. Great platform to post trade questions, debate rookie values, share insight, interact with some cool people from across the globe. You know, shout out to those guys in Australia. They're blowing my phone up all the time. You know, the best part is there's no Twitter trolls or Facebook trolls arguing about stuff they don't know anything about. So if you want to enjoy your dynasty experience even more, win those championships, pause the podcast right now, sign up, and you can thank me later in the group chat.